It is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. Of course, you can find them on the web at tqag.com. And they're right here with us right now, hopefully. Let's open the door. Sign in, contestants, please.
Good morning.
Good morning. Walk through that door. How are you?
I just remember watching the contestants sign in on What's My Line. Did you guys ever watch that show?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, two of those shows have been updated. One of them is To Tell the Truth, which I do kind of watch every once in a while because I like that show as well. And so I wish they would do a reboot of What's My Line, because that one was really, that was so much fun. That was really a lot of fun.
Here's a little bit of trivia for you. I was a young boy. I was with my father in New York, and he was, my father was known to involve himself with a little alcohol every now and then as a comedian. And we went to What's My Line, and we were standing in the back wings. I got to meet Dorothy Kilgallen. And then they brought my father out on stage as a special guest, and they didn't realize that he was intoxicated. So it made for a rather interesting What's My Line. but see, now 99% of the people out there don't know who Dorothy Kilgallen is, so I'll stop.
That's true. That when you think about the people who were on that show, then there was also Bennett Cerf.
Oh, yeah. Bennett Cerf was very funny.
And what was the other guy's name with the glasses? David, I can't remember his name, but he was actually a host of another game show. And then there was Arlene Francis.
Yeah.
Those are our peeps, Marshall. Those were our peeps back in the day.
Yes, good old black and white TV. See, wow. Seeing as we're talking about old things, it's perfectly, because that's what you guys do for your whole life. Old things.
Old, new, or things that pretend to be old,
are really new. And that's happening more and more.
We've talked about several different times about how baseball memorabilia seems to be not only holding, but it seems to be
growing,
increasing in certain value. And there's a handful, and literally on one hand, I think you could count them. And there's Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle,
Lou Gehrig,
those are the top performers. And yet again, Mickey Mantle
was just in
a home run. Yeah. Yeah. In 1964, that's when he hit he hit a record with his 17th and 18th record, home run record. And the jersey that he wore to do that just sold and set a record of $1.32 million.
No. Did that sell for that much?
Yeah.
I thought the jersey sold for more. I thought it sold for 8.6.
Oh, wait a second. Yes. Yes. You are correct. You are correct.
Oh, say that again. Marshall, we have this taping, right? Oh, my. This is a banner day.
$8 million.
I'm only saying that because I can be. This is on tape, I'm sure, and somebody's going to prove me. You know, I have to say. I was wrong. Okay.
$8 million.
Yeah.
8.6.
$8,600,000 for people. That 0.6 is rather significant.
Yeah. Yes, it is rather significant. I'd take a 0.6.
That's right. I'd take a 0.1 right now.
Right. Exactly. No, but what this goes to show is that these rare pieces, and also it's the provenance, it's the history, and it's also the condition, because the jersey itself was in excellent condition, and also to be able to prove who owned it, the chain of ownership makes a big difference, especially in this hobby. And when it is so clean and when it is so easy and believable and credible, then these big prices start showing up in the marketplace. And I think this was at Heritage that did the auction, Heritage Auctions, which does a great job with sports memorabilia. And they marketed this, got this out to their base, and I'm sure the sale just did crazy. The entire sale did really well because there were a lot of other baseball cards and other pieces, but this was one of the big highlights, was the Mickey Mantle jersey.
Now, let me ask you something. In when you're talking about memorabilia from entertainment stars, singers, actresses, actors, whatever, and they go on in life and they either become alcoholics, drunks, or do crazy, stupid things and get arrested in jail, it doesn't seem to affect the cost on their memorabilia. But in sports, isn't it a little bit of a risk in case 10 years down the road somebody's notified and identified, let's say, as a user of steroids? It seems to me it more impacts the value of things in sports than it does with regular entertainers.
Well, it depends on like what it is, because some transgressions can be forgiven, but you know, when Michael Jackson was going through the whole thing with the charges and these children, you know, like he was with the pedophilia, a lot of his memorabilia, people were really stepping away from that, and then it started going up, and you know, especially after his death, and since he wasn't charged and things, you know, it's speculation. But that's one thing. I think with sports figures is that it's all about, people want that they're collecting really the heroism in that particular star. And when it is proven that there was like with, there's several of them that were out there that were either doping or I was trying to think the biker. Oh, what is his name? And I just went
Armstrong.
Out of my head.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lance Armstrong. Yeah. All I could think of was Lance. So you have somebody that, wow, he did this incredible human feat, but then it turns out that he was lying, you know, that it was drug enhanced. And then it just becomes, oh my goodness. Then now all that was built up around his memorabilia and around his legacy is deflated like a balloon. So that's what happens to the market as well for that collectible. And those are the things that really, those factors you have to factor in. And that could happen at any time, is that somebody is going, and it's great. But then there's all this other stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And when that comes out, then that really affects the way the public perceives what those items are and the collectability. And that's why valuing items is so difficult.
I've lost you guys.
What's that?
Oh, I'm back. I lost you guys for a second.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. What about in the case of Lance Armstrong? This is something. He still got those jerseys, the yellow jerseys, okay?
Sure,
that he won.
Sure.
He's got them on display in his house. I bet you that if he put those up for auction, they would sell for a lot simply because he won so many of them, and with a doping scandal with the Tour de France, I bet you they would sell for big bucks.
It's hard to say. They probably would have sold for more if he didn't
well,
do the doping. You know,
my belief
and it's hard to say.
My belief is, I think you're probably right, because at this point, there are a couple of factors that I would consider. One is the infamy is also an asset sometimes for memorabilia, depending on what the transgression was. And the fact that that he's no longer in the sport, and these yellow jerseys and for what they stand for, I think the possibility it truly exists that they could sell for a lot of money. Now,
well, I think it's time too. Time has passed, and there are, you know, you have time that has gone on, and as more time goes on, then that if he holds out, Yeah, they would sell, but could they have done better? And that's the question.
True. But let's face it, throughout collectible and memorabilia history at auction, infamy always sells well. Let me just say Al Capone, okay, and Bonnie and Clyde, all of these things, and they did a lot worse things than dope.
Yeah, but they were always
their stuff sells for quite a lot of money.
But they became famous because they were bad, and so that's different. You know, they didn't become famous because they were a great singer or a baseball player. They were badasses, and so they became famous because they were badasses.
That's what you're buying. You're buying into the badassness, as opposed to
badassness. No, I like that. The badass.
No, really, but you know, but they got it's almost like, you know, Smokey and the Bandit. I mean, he becomes a hero in the movie, and he's breaking 5 million laws, and he's still a hero to this day.
And that's great, but in sports, it's about sportsmanship, and it's about the human achievement on what you're able to do. But then, if you find out that it's been enhanced, or that there was cheating in the game. There's also Pete Rose, and for those reasons. Yeah, I think that if they were still to sell some things, people would be behind it. But I think it still needs time, and could it have gone for more? It becomes the question. And as appraisers, that's what we have to look at, the items, and look at the marketplace and say, and that's the difficult part of what we do, is because trying to put a value on something, value is not a fact, value is an opinion. And you hear the three of us even coming up, well, no, it could be this and it could be that. And we go through this as appraisers, and you have to really look at these parallel comparables, take a look at what's going on in the marketplace and make those comparisons to say, well, if this person who had a similar background and did this, look at what happened to theirs as compared to somebody who didn't do that, and here's where their market is, here's the discrepancy, and here is the percentage that would be a little different, or here's how it would be different. And that's how we determine value, and it's not easy.
Well, you mentioned Pete Rose, Tim, and I think that in the future, if any Pete Rose memorabilia comes up after his death, I think that history is going to remember him not so much for his transgressions as his talent as a baseball player. And I think that his stuff will probably start to really rise, and because the gambling thing, for example, for some reason I just feel that people are more likely to forgive something like that than what Lance Armstrong had done, where he was into the doping and cheated the game, because one thing that people do not like is their sports messed with.
If you win
and you do something that's stupid outside your sport, that's one thing. But if you win because of something you did within your sport to win, I don't think people are going to forgive that quite as much. So, there again, we have levels and we have. So it'll be interesting to see in the future how these things play out. But I think you're onto something there, Marshall, with the jerseys.
Well, it's interesting. What makes Lance Armstrong even more special? Not only did he cheat, but then he cheated and he used his cancer foundation to gain more attention and to gain more fame, and that made it doubly worse.
Oh yeah.
So well, that would be an interesting barometer if things actually do come up for sale, because there is still Lance Armstrong memorabilia out there that people are buying, but it's pennies on the dollar by comparison to somebody like Mickey Mantle.
But it's a different type of sport, and it's a different type of collecting, because when you think of baseball, that's America's pastime, that is America's sport. So it's something that is really the ultimate when it comes to sports collectibles. It's baseball. And that's you really can't compare that to other sports.
And I guess, you know, we only have a minute or two left. What I wanted to point out, though, is that I'm sure when you got into appraising, it's a whole different ball game now. I use that as a sports because there's so many things now that maybe 20 years ago appraising was this, but now it's totally different.
Most definitely. And a lot of it is because we have access to more material and more sales to compare things to, where it was a lot harder even 10 years ago to get accurate information to make those comparisons. So the ability to have the access to worldwide sales, it's gone from just this local market to a global market. And that's one of the biggest things that I try to get across to new appraisers, is to say, you know, if it's a smaller piece, it can be sold anywhere in the world. So you can't just think about your own little location, is that that piece could be moved, or it could be sold from your little location on the internet and be sold somewhere around the world. So now it's not just taking into account the smaller location, but the larger picture. And that's the big difference.
All right. Well, we are out of time, but thank you for indulging me in my...
Absolutely, Marshall. And today's primary day. We're going out to vote, and we're hitting the golf course.
Yes.
Well, good luck.
My goal this year, just FYI, my goal this year, every year I set one physical goal. This year, my goal is to play in a club tournament.
Well,
my first tournament.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
I'm not saying that I'm going to be. I'm not saying I'm going to make the cut. I'm just going to say I'm going to try to get into the tournament.
All right. Well, good luck.
I just want to hit the ball today. That's all.
Have fun today, guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care. Take care, Marshall.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys of Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack, with, of course, Appraise This, TQAG.com on the web.